I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, to the 34th chapter. Ezekiel chapter 34. And in one sense, I'll say get comfortable. Not that the sermon's long, but there's some extensive Bible reading right here at the beginning. We'll be reading the entire chapter 34, and then you'll see there, if you have one of the outlines, a couple other passages from the book of John, one that's quite long, and so we'll be reading a bit right now together. So you'll probably want to have a text in front of you. If not, I'll try to read clearly so you can hear and grasp the things that God is saying to us in His Word. Ezekiel chapter 34. Verses 1 to 31. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore you shepherds hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat, and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace, and banish wild beasts from the land, so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslaved them. They shall no more be prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. I'd like you to turn now to the book of John, to the 10th chapter. We'll begin our reading here in verse 1 and read through verse 21. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" And finally, turn to the end of the book, John 21, verses 15 through 17. John 21, verses 15 through 17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Please bow with me in prayer. Father, we pray that you will add your blessing to your word tonight. And as the theme is so clear before us, O God, look upon this congregation. These are your sheep. You are their shepherd. My prayer is that you will now feed your sheep. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like you to turn back to the book of Ezekiel and have the chapter 34 open before you this evening. As is made clear by simply reading through it, this is a huge passage, and it deserves a whole lot more attention than we are going to be able to give it this evening. And indeed, if we're going to stay within a reasonable amount of time tonight, I'm going to need to cut right away to some conclusions that will help guide us as we consider the message of this chapter in Ezekiel. As we overview the whole chapter here, and I'm going to just need to draw your attention to a few of these things, we need to initially understand three basic interpretive matters that must guide our reading of this passage. The first of those interpretive matters that we have to have is that it is to be understood spiritually. This passage is to be understood spiritually, and it's made clear that it's to be understood spiritually from the final verse of the passage there in verse 31 that reads, "And you are my sheep," and then here it is, "human sheep. Human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord." And therefore, God himself tells us to interpret this passage spiritually. Comes right out and says that when I'm saying sheep, I'm not meaning really sheep. I'm meaning human sheep. So you need to understand the passage that way. Secondly, it's to be understood as speaking of the future. And that's made clear by the profuse use of the future tense of God's promises throughout the passage that are marked by this repeated phrase over and over again, "I will do this." These begin roughly in verse 10, "I will require my sheep at their hand. I will rescue my sheep." Verse 11, "I myself will search for them and will seek them out." Verse 12, "So will I seek my sheep. I will rescue them." 13, "I will bring them back. I will feed them." Beginning of 14, "I will feed them." Beginning of 15, "I myself will be the shepherd of the sheep." And thus it's clear that this passage is speaking of a time future to the original audience that was hearing it. Because God is saying and promising something that He will do. Future from that time. And thirdly, a third basic interpretive matter that needs to guide our reading of the passage this evening is that it is to be understood as speaking of Christ. This passage is speaking of Christ, and that's made clear in verses 34 or verses 23 and 24 of the chapter here, where God says that He will set David over His people as their good and faithful shepherd. Again, He says here, "And I will set up over them one shepherd, My servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and My servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken." You see, at this time, David has been dead for over 400 years. And therefore, we have to understand here that this is not to be taken literally, that God is going to have David set over them, but rather this is a reference that is to make us think this is typological. There's going to be someone like David. There's going to be someone that is associated with David, because God is saying this of a man who's been dead and has been buried. In fact, as Peter says in the book of Acts on the first day of preaching of the Christian church, Acts 2, he says, "I can assure you that our patriarch David is dead and he remains in his grave to this day." So this isn't speaking of the literal David. It's actually speaking of Jesus Christ. And we know that because as we read on in our Bibles, Jesus is said to be the fulfillment of the promises that were made concerning David. He is the promised son of David. And He claims Himself, we saw from John 10 tonight, He is that good, that faithful, that singular shepherd that God places over His people. And so this is clearly a prophecy about Him. And so as we consider this passage tonight, we need to understand and we need to take the passage first spiritually. We need to understand it's speaking of a future time from the original audience. And third, it's speaking of Jesus Christ. Now, with those interpretive points in mind, we also need to see that there is both a positive and a negative message in the passage that's before us. Notice that on the one hand, negatively, it's a rebuke and it is a prophecy against the unfaithful shepherds of Israel. Now, in a word, these shepherds are understood as being both the political and the church or the ecclesiastical leadership of Israel. And this is a prophecy, a rebuke against them negatively because they were misusing their offices and they were harming the people of God. As we read, you probably heard these allegations against them. They were living off of the people. They were not living for them. They fed on the people. They didn't feed them. They were abusers. They were not shepherds of the people. On the other hand, there's a positive message here. Positively, this is a promise of God protecting and taking care of His people. And He says He's going to do this through the agency of a single faithful shepherd. And in this positive prophecy, we hear God say that He's going to rectify the abuses that the people have suffered, not only by judging the abusive shepherds. That's not the way He's going to rectify it. He's not only going to judge them, but also by He Himself. He's going to seek the lost and scattered sheep. He's going to rescue them. He's going to divide between them. He's going to feed them Himself. He's going to rectify the problems that have happened among His people because of the unfaithful shepherds. And He's going to do this by making a covenant of peace with them. He's going to be their God, and they will be His people. And thus the passage is, it's speaking spiritually of a time future to the original audience, at which point God will rescue and save and feed His people, setting over them a Lord and a Savior. He's going to put over them a protector and a provider who He is saying will be, and I think if we stretch it out, He's going to set over them this David figure, the son of David, and He'll establish a new covenant with them, and He'll bless them forever with ample provisions. They will not want. They will never be in lack ever again. They will have everything that they need. And therefore, as we consider this prophecy here in Ezekiel 34, I really hope, and I hope tonight that your heart is warmed, that your faith is strengthened, that your conscience is calmed to see that at every point, at every single point of the prophecy here, God has been faithful to fulfill what He promised here in Jesus Christ. That nothing that He said has fallen to the ground, but Christ has done it all. Christ is the Son of David who was promised long ago. He is the Good Shepherd who lays down His life for the flock. He's that righteous judge that is going to bring a righteous judgment and divide between sheep and goats. And He is the mediator of a new covenant. In fact, He Himself is that peace that we have in the new covenant with God. In verses 15 and 16 of Ezekiel 34 before you, we're told here that this promised shepherd, this divine shepherd, who we find out a little later down is going to be, we might even call him a David shepherd. He's this David figure. He's going to seek the lost sheep. He's going to bind up the injured ones. He's going to strengthen the weak ones. And therefore, it is no wonder that in Christ's ministry, and this is a wonderful study to look at in the Gospels, in Christ's ministry, the sick and the blind and the lame, they consistently cried out and addressed Jesus by a certain title. They always referred to Him as Son of David. Have mercy on me. I want to take you just on a quick survey of this in the Gospel of Matthew. You don't have to turn there, but I'll tell you the references, or if you're quick, you can try to keep up. Matthew 9. In Matthew 9, the two blind men, they cry out for healing. And they addressed Jesus saying in verse 27, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Matthew 12, Jesus heals the man with the withered hand. He delivers the demon-possessed man. In fact, it tells us twice there in the text that He healed everyone who was brought to Him. All the sick He healed. And it's recorded there in verse 23 of Matthew 12. And all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the Son of David?" Matthew 15, the Canaanite woman seeks Jesus to heal her daughter. Verse 22, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." Matthew 20, there's two more blind men. They seek Jesus to heal them. They're sitting there and they're yelling out to Jesus, "Heal us, heal us." And everyone says, "Be quiet," which simply makes them cry out all the more. "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And so we see this consistent fulfillment in the life of Jesus. Here's that shepherd. Here's that David figure that is going to come and he's going to bind up the wounded. He's going to heal the brokenhearted. He's going to find and heal the sick. And the people recognize this is him. Could this be the Son of David? Throughout this chapter, Ezekiel 34, the Lord says that he will himself be a shepherd to his people, that he will set over them a good and faithful shepherd who will seek and who will save the lost. And therefore, it should strike our hearts upon this background, Ezekiel 34 being the background. We come into the New Testament and here Jesus declares that his mission is to seek out the lost sheep of Israel. He sends the 12 out on their first ministry journey and he says, I'm sending you out to seek the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says that his mission was to seek and save the lost. Luke 19:10. He claims emphatically in John 10, we read it this evening, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. And then virtually quoting Ezekiel 34 right there in John 10:16, he says, there will be one flock, one shepherd. The Lord claims here in Ezekiel 34 that he will judge between the sheep and goats. We find Jesus in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 25, verses 31 through 33. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all angels with him, then he will sit on his throne, his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a sheep separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats on his left. Again, Jesus identifying himself with that promised shepherd of Ezekiel 34. And here in again, in Ezekiel 34, the Lord promises to make a new covenant of peace with his people. And we find Jesus in his ministry weeping over Jerusalem, saying, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you would have known those things which would have made for your peace. But they had rejected him. At the Last Supper, we have Christ saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. Paul tells us in Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. He is that covenant of peace. And thus we see that Jesus is the good shepherd that is being spoken of throughout this whole passage here, Ezekiel 34. And as we prepare to come to the Lord's table this evening, I want us to see, and I hope that we can see with the eyes of faith, that in this sacrament that we celebrate this evening, we have a particular fulfillment of God's promise as our shepherd to feed us and provide us with his covenant blessings. Long before the time of this prophecy here in Ezekiel, David had written in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In fact, long before David wrote the 23rd Psalm, it was the Lord who provided food for his people in the wilderness, as Asaph wrote in the 78th Psalm. We're singing tonight a fairly good-sized portion of Psalm 78, but Asaph had already enshrined in song God's faithful provision of feeding his people in the wilderness. In Psalm 78, we read, "He commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down on them manna to eat, and gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate of the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance." Indeed, long before David wrote the 23rd Psalm, long before God had provided the supernatural food in the wilderness for his people, at the very creation of the world, God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with its seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food." You see, from the very start, it has always been God who provides his people with food. God is the one who brings the provisions that we need. And on the flip side of this, the irony is that indeed man's rebellion throughout the history of the world can also be seen in terms of sin that involved food. Failure at this point. It's a great irony, a series of sins concerning food. It begins all the way at the fall. Man ate the forbidden fruit in the patriarchal period. One of many we can cite, Esau sells his birthright for stew and bread. In the wilderness, we'll be singing it in Psalm 78 this evening, Israel, it says there, provoked God. They spoke against God. What did they say to him? What was the provoking thing? And the heinousness of how they grumbled and spoke against God? They said, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness? Can he give bread and provide meat for his people?" In fact, in the ministry of Jesus, in the 6th chapter, the Jews were offended that Jesus would say, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." As we come to this sacrament tonight, we need to realize herein as we partake that although he is not perceptible to our physical eyes, it is indeed Jesus who serves you in this sacrament. This is him exercising his function as the good shepherd, providing food for his people. You need to see by faith your Lord and your Master. And again, it's simply by faith. You see him gird in servant's gowns serving you tonight. You see, although as I stand behind the table tonight and I send these elements out in Christ's name, you see a frail man. You look and you see a fallible minister standing before you. You need to remember, again, it was Jesus who commissioned this ministry. It's Jesus who sent out Peter. In those words that we read earlier this evening, "Peter, do you love me?" This is Christ's provision for his people. "Then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed them." And thus, as we come to the table tonight, my call to you is come in faith and come hearing the voice of your Lord. Come hear him saying, And in this, as a token of His fulfillment of those promises, I will seek out my sheep and I will save them. I will tend to them. I will shepherd them. I will feed them. Let's be thinking of these things tonight as we come. Let's pray together.